Well, good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John 13. We're in this series on Sunday mornings on the topic of love. So far, we've talked about love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then last week, we looked at loving our neighbor as ourselves. And today, I want to talk about the example of love. The best way to learn something is to find an expert and then follow their example. So, for example, let's say you want to improve your golf game. Well, what you do is you buy a video of one of the pros and you allow that person to share with you the fundamentals, maybe to help you have a better swing and what clubs or rods or whatever it is that you're using, and you would find tremendous help, and it would improve your game, hopefully. Or let's say you want to play an instrument, maybe a guitar. Again, you find someone who's an expert, and you go and you learn from them, and they will teach you how to play a guitar. Well, who is the best example to show us how to love? And the answer to that is Jesus. If you want to learn to love, look to Jesus. He will teach you what love is and how love works out in our lives. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So also you love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Jesus says, "I want you to love, and I will be the example." And so he teaches us how to love. Now in John chapter 13, it's just before supper. Jesus takes a towel, he girds himself, he takes a basin of water, and he stoops, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, foot washing was usually reserved for slaves. Typically, slaves would wash the feet of individuals. However, there's no slave here. It's Jesus and his disciples. One of the disciples should have took this responsibility upon themselves. They did not. And so Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. Now, these men whose feet he is washing, in just a short while, 11 of them are going to run away from him. One of them is going to betray him. Now, we get sidetracked a little bit with this story because some think that Jesus set up an ordinance for the church, an established practice of foot washing. Let me just tell you why this is not an ordinance in the church, why this is not an example of something we're supposed to do today. Number one, Jesus said, "I give you an example that you do unto me." In other words, Jesus was showing them an example of service. He was teaching them to be servants. And if you, in order to be great in my kingdom, you need to be a servant of all. And so Jesus is teaching on servanthood. Secondly, nowhere in the epistles do we read anything about foot washing. It's just not there. There's no record of it in early church history that we read about the disciples practicing foot washing. And then fourth, it was a custom. The Jews wore sandals. They walked dusty roads. And just like those of you who wear flip-flops in the summertime, later on in the day, you look at your feet, they're filthy, right? And so they had filthy feet, and so it required washing. One of the reasons being, when you ate, you didn't sit at a table like we do. You recline, you lay down on an elbow, and your feet are sticking out this way, and they're towards somebody else's face or head. And you don't want to eat with dirty feet right in your face, right? And so they had this custom of washing feet. So how can we follow the example of Jesus in love that he sets for us? How does love work out in our daily lives? Well, let's look at that. First of all, I want you to see that we need to accept others the way Jesus accepts you. You see, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, showing his acceptance of them. And by the way, we should be the most accepting people on earth. Now, notice what I did not say. I did not say that we should be approving of every person. I said we should be accepting of every person. You can accept someone without approving of their lifestyle. And some people have a hard time accepting people, and maybe because you've been rejected in life, you have a difficult time accepting other people. But it is impossible to be accepted by everyone, because no matter what you do, somebody won't like you, or somebody will disagree with you, or some person will not accept you. Well, there are three types of love that I want us to look at here just briefly. First of all, there's I love you if. This is conditional love. I love you, you know, if you hit a home run. I love you if you get straight A's on your report card. It's conditional love. And then there's I love you because. It's also conditional love. I love you because you're smart, because you're beautiful, because you're funny. Whatever the reason might be, I love you because of these things. But then lastly, most importantly, there is I love you, period. This is God's love. This is agape love. And God's love is not based on my conduct. It's based on his character. The Bible says God is love. He doesn't just possess love. He doesn't just have love. The Bible says God is love. And there's an old cliche that goes like this. God loves us and accepts us the way we are. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. And so God accepts us where we are, the way we are, at the time we come to believe in him. And then God transforms our lives through the Holy Spirit. But God's love is agape love. And it's not conditional. And we need to love the same way that Jesus loved. And that means that we need to accept other people. We need to see how love works out in life, what it looks like in day-to-day life. One of the ways that we see that is we accept people where they are. But secondly, today, we must value others the way Jesus values you. You must value others the way Jesus values you. Here's Jesus on his knees cleaning dirty feet. This is incredible humility on God's part. He went from the highest high, from the praises of cherubim and seraphim, on his knees washing dirty feet. That's Jesus, deity, God, on his knees washing the feet of men. It's incredible. Let me ask you this. How valuable are you? How valuable are you? Well, you are infinitely valuable to God. So how do you decide value? Right? How do you come to a decision, this is valuable? Well, several things. Number one, we might ask, who made it? Is it a Stradivarius? Right? A violin? Is it a Rembrandt? Is it a Picasso? And because of who made it, it gives it tremendous worth and tremendous value. Well, let me ask the question. Who made you? God did. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. And then verse 27 says, he made man in his likeness and in his image. And then God recreated us in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's masterpieces. He's recreated us in Jesus Christ. God is our creator, and because God made us and he made us in his image, we have value. All mankind has value. But secondly, how rare is it? Now, I collected coins for a number of years, and I had coins that are 2,000 years old and American coins that go back to the 1700s. Just because a coin is old doesn't mean it's valuable. You got to look at the rarity of the coin. How rare is the coin, right? That's what you look at. Because rarity gives value and gives worth. So if you have something and there's only a few and everybody wants it, then it's valuable. It makes it valuable. So how rare are you? How rare are you? Well, you're extremely rare in the sense that you're unique. There's nobody else like you. Everybody in this room is different. We're all human beings, but all of us are different. All of us are unique. We are rare. There's no one in the world like us. Even if you're identical twins, you still have different dispositions and different likes and et cetera. No two people are alike. We are all different. And so we're rare. But also, how much will someone pay for it? Because really, something's only worth what someone's willing to pay for it, right? I mean, you might have a coin you think's worth $1 million, but if someone's only willing to pay $50 for it, that's all that it's worth. It's only worth what someone is willing to pay. But let me share a passage with you in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see the price that was paid for you. In 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, Peter writes, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We have been purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." That gives us infinite value, infinite worth. No greater price has been paid than the price that Christ paid at Calvary to redeem you to God so that you could be his child. We need to value other people the way that God values us. That's one of the ways that we show love for one another. But there's a third way this morning. You must forgive like Jesus forgave you. You must forgive like Jesus forgave you. Now, his disciples at this time, they didn't get it. Jesus is washing their feet. In a little while, they're going to forsake him. One is going to deny him, or one's going to betray him, rather. And so, think about this. No one will ever hurt me more than I have hurt Jesus. My sin put Jesus on the cross. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. And because God has forgiven us, he calls us to forgive one another. And when we do this, it's a way of showing love to another person. Paul says in Colossians 3:13, "As God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ, so you forgive each other." Now, that doesn't mean that you forget it. It doesn't mean that the person may not experience consequences for their actions. What it means is you let it go. What it means is you're not going to hold this grudge against them any longer. You're going to release them of that debt. You're simply going to let it go. That's what it means. In 1991, reporter Terry Anderson had been held in captivity for 7 years in Lebanon. And he was confined to a dirty cell, and they allowed him to have one book. That book was the Bible. He read that Bible looking for hope and looking for answers. And then he came across a couple of passages. One was, love your enemies. And the other was, forgive as God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't know what to do with those passages when he first read them. He had spent 2,455 days in confinement. And then on December the 4th, 1991, he was released. And a reporter asked him, can you forgive your captors? And he said, I forgive them. He forgave them because of the words of Jesus, where Jesus calls us to forgive. One of the great examples of this is in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. This is a great example. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servant. There was a servant that owed this king 10,000 talents. Now, if this were gold, it would be $11 billion in today's money. If it were in silver, it would be $161 million. Either way, gold or silver, it is a tremendous amount of money, right? 10,000 talents of silver. And so the king calls a servant in and says, hey, I want my money. And he couldn't pay. And so the king said, have him sold his wife, his kids, all that he has in order to pay the debt. And he fell down and he begged the king and said, please, just give me time and I'll repay everything. And the king, Jesus said, was moved with compassion and he just forgave the debt. $11 billion or $161 million, whatever that debt was, he just released the man of it. Then that same servant goes out and finds a fellow servant that owed him money. And he grabs him by the neck and starts to choke him and says, pay me what you owe me. And the man said, please be patient with me and I will repay you everything. And he would not. And he had that man thrown in prison. Well, when the king found out about that, he called that servant back in before him. And in Matthew 18, beginning in verse 32, then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And so, think about this. God has wiped away your debt. He's wiped away my debt. And each of us had a mountain of debt of sin. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's this huge debt, mountain of debt. And God says, I forgive you the debt. God wiped it clean. God says, forgiven. And then we go out and someone talks about us or gossips about us or says something about us we don't like. And then we take that little minute thing and we just hold it against them. We refuse to forgive when we don't realize that God forgave this huge mountain of debt. Am I then going to take this one teeny tiny little offense that someone, that I committed against someone, or they committed against me, and then hold that against them? If we do that, God says that he will not forgive us our trespasses. One of the ways we show love to other people is by forgiving them. This is how this works out in life. These are some very concrete ways that we can show love to other people. We value other people. We accept other people. We forgive other people. Here are three concrete ways that you can show the love of Jesus to the world around you. And so I challenge you, brothers and sisters, to love the way Jesus calls us to love, to follow the example that Jesus gives us. And this morning, I want you to know that forgiveness is what the Christian religion is all about. Christianity is all about God forgiving us our sins in Jesus Christ. Christianity begins with Jesus Christ dying on the cross, shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And so Christianity is a religion of forgiveness. God wants to forgive us our sins in Jesus Christ, but we have to come to Jesus Christ in order for our sins to be forgiven. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We need to respond to the love of God in Jesus Christ. And when we do that by believing, repenting, confessing, and being immersed, God wipes away the debt of our sin. God embraces us as one of his children. If you haven't accepted the love of God in Jesus Christ, if you've not been forgiven of your sins, this morning we're going to sing a song. And during the singing of the song, it is to encourage you to think about your relationship with God. And if you need him, you need to come to him for forgiveness, then we urge you to come as we stand together and sing.